You may be seated. We got a baby in the manger, but I got to tell you, he grew up and became a man and fulfilled the purpose that he came here for. Years ago, I was talking to a Catholic woman about Christmas time. Oh, yes, I love baby Jesus. I said, do you know the one who grew up? I said, what do you mean? There's no baby in the manger anymore. That's history. Jesus Christ is still alive, and he rose from the grave after an awful endurement of suffering for you and I. Oh, I never heard that before. We love baby Jesus. I love baby Jesus. I love my children, but they grew up and became little devils too. So you gotta have the right tone and frame of mind to it all. I want to speak to you this morning. There are so many things I could put in to this message, but I want to speak to you about some things the manger gave us. First of all, it gave us a promised Savior. He'd been promised to the Jewish people that he was coming. Many of them had given up hope. Many of them had thought it's not ever going to happen. It's just a story. It was promised throughout the Bible. Isaiah 53 said, who hath believed our report? When he came, there weren't many believers around. There weren't many gathering and saying, oh yes, this is the one that we've waited on, the one we believe in. But he said, you're not going to believe how she come. Although it was prophesied in the Old Testament that a virgin, not a young woman, but a virgin would conceive and bear a child, and we shall call his name, let's say it together, church, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. For he shall grow up before us as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness. When people paint a picture of him, they want to try to make him as a good-looking fellow. The Bible says he was just an ordinary-looking fellow. If you'd see him and not know him, you wouldn't know who he was. As a matter of fact, when he come to get him, which one is him? Which one is the one that's making all the stir? Thank God, the sound of his voice. Thank God, the feel of his touch. Thank God, the closeness of our heart to his heart tells us that we know him. And if we have sworn to know him for so many years, days, months now, surely we know the risen Christ. He's despised and rejected of men. And he said to us in John before he left, if the world hated me, don't be surprised, it's going to hate you. That's one way that you know you love Jesus when people are hating you for it. I don't know if it's appropriate to say this behind the pulpit on Sunday morning, but they were talking to somebody about Elvis. I was in the army right before he went in. Some ruler from some country said, do you know him? He said, well, I like him. If the Russians hate him, he must be okay. So I don't know if that's a good sign or not, but you're going to be hated. And we spend all of our time trying to figure out how that we'll not be identified with him. Kick him out of our schools, kick him out of our government, kick him out of our homes, kick him out of our phrases. I was at the Veterans Hospital in Altoona past week. Every one of those people said Merry Christmas to me. People walking through the hall, patients there, those who were waiting on me, well, Merry Christmas. I thought, thank God, they still know it's Merry Christmas. He's despised, we know that. Two things we need to know about him. He was all man and he was all God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, The man is Christ Jesus. He was a man. There is no feminist Bible. There is no woman gospel. There is no Mother Earth. There's none of those things that people want us to be deflected from making a slightest hint of one Savior, one God. Well, let's have a feminist God. Let's have a feminist woman. We don't know what a woman is. One of our Supreme Court justices was running, and somebody asked her, one of the congressmen asked her, would you define a woman? She couldn't do it. She was a woman. She couldn't define a woman. How crazy. One God. One Savior. Praise the Lord. He was Christ Jesus. But he was all God. John said in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How do you explain that? I don't think you can. To explain God would be God, and I'm not God. I'm glad I've spent my lifetime in the ministry studying about God. And the more I study, the more I realize I don't really know enough about him. I need to know more. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. Tell me more about his great love. I don't know how he could love a sinner like the thief on the cross. I don't know how he could love me. But the Bible says he did. For God so loved the world that he gave the very best he had. He didn't say, now, we're going to have a short service. We're going to have a short time together, and then we'll go do our thing. For his birthday, we don't want it to be about him. We want it to be about something else, about the color, about the tree. I'm not against those things. I'm not against those at all. But I'm for Jesus first of all, most of all in all. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. A virgin. There's no such thing, Pastor Hodge. I know among mankind there's no such thing, but with God all things are possible. And God chose to bring him in. He didn't come riding in on a white horse. He didn't come swooping down the sky in a chariot of angels. He was in a manger, born of a virgin. How can this be? Luke writes more about it than anyone else. Luke was a physical doctor. He was fascinated by the fact that it happened, even though they knew and had a record it was going to happen, but it has finally happened. If we'd say that today, there was a lady in the hospital, and doctor examined her to see what was wrong, and he said, you're pregnant, you're going to have a baby. He went over and looked out the window and stared and stared and stared. She said, what are you doing? He said, the last time this happened, there were angels coming from heaven. Never happened before, never happened since. A virgin. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God dwell with us. We're his creation. When God made this earth, as beautiful as it is, even right now you can see snow-capped mountains, you can see all kinds of beauty, all the season change, all the animals, everything. But the greatest thing that God made and the thing he cherished the most was mankind, to dominate all of creation and to care for it for God. He told Adam, take care of the garden. Make it grow beautiful. God gave us something to do. When God gives us something to do, he wants us to do it. He wants us to put that foremost. If you check... I don't remember which evangelist was here telling us about the calendars. But you know, with the Muslims, their calendar, the first day is Saturday, not Sunday. They don't believe in our God first. They believe Muslim first. You have to go somewhere else if you want to get a calendar. But we kind of act like Sunday's the last day. The simple little thing God said, do on the first day, lay aside your offering for God. We wait till the last day. How much I got? How much I got left? Spend it all. It's all gone. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what he gave us. Second thing he gave us was a personal Savior. He's not some king sitting off in some war room somewhere or riding on some plane or spending, how much? $70 trillion? Wow. Kind of blows me away to think about it, doesn't it, you? And he don't know us. He has no idea who we are. But Jesus knows every one of us. The Bible says he knows how many numbers of hairs on your head. If you lost one last night, he knows about that. He knows all about us. And the Bible tells us that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He didn't just love us. He so loved us. He was talking particularly about the human race, but he loved this planet too. And we're trying to do something else to it. We say one thing on one hand and do something else on the other hand. We're destroying it, while at the same time we're going to save it and run our cars on batteries. I want to know what happens when the ambulance comes out with a battery in it to get somebody and it stops dead halfway to the person's house. Duh. What do we do now? Go see the neighbor, see if he's got one to plug it into. I don't know. You've got to have some humor with all this or you'd go nuts, wouldn't you? If you took them serious, these people that are telling us they're going to make the earth greener. It takes rain and sunshine and man not to destroy it. He sent not his son in the world to condemn the world. Not this time. Jesus is not here to condemn us. He's here to save us. He's here to take us away and take our sins away from us. Told that thief on that cross, this night, this very night, you'll be with me. Wow. And that other dummy didn't even have sense enough to know that. Just kept on screaming. Get us out of this mess. Sort of much like most of the human race. We don't have much to do with God until something happens. Baby runs out in front of the car. Oh, my God. Why? Then nobody left to call on. All of the magic, all the money, all the doctors, all the nurses can't do anything. Only God can. God has to step in. But that the world through him might be saved. And man has messed it up so bad, there comes a day, there comes an hour, there comes a time when God's going to burn the whole mess up again. And then bring a new one in that hadn't been corrupted by man. As we was talking last night, darkness. Nothing but darkness. And during the tribulation, the sun will be blocked out mostly. The islands will be moved and mountains will be moved and this mess that man has made will be destroyed by God and put us back to a perfect earth which we have not seen. He's our personal Savior. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. Oh, don't spank him, Mama. He loves you. Yeah. God loves you and he's going to spank you too. Spank me. He says all discipline is good for us. We need it. He became our substitute. I don't think we study enough about that. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Somebody had to take the punishment. God said in the beginning, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We've all sinned. So how is it going to happen? Christ died in my place, your place, everybody's place. But you have to accept that. You have to take that. You have to ask for that. For we have made him sin, made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. And that's the only one that could, because it had to be a perfect offering. And he was the perfect offering, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. God took Christ and put him there where the sin was, and took us and put us where Christ was, who was righteous. I'm now righteous inside, where it counts. And one day God will make it all righteous. In that dream I had, God said, what kind of new body do you want? I said, I'd like to have one a little bit better than what I had. Ask and you shall receive. What a great God we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a day. What a day. What a time. Never in the sight of the world as they cry again, new viruses are springing up. New problems are coming to us. Democrats and Republicans are still fighting. Nothing's getting solved. Nothing's happening. Only thing that's going to happen is when God steps out of his throne room and says to his son, go bring my children home. And he begins to tear this world apart and get it right for that next one and his people. Jesus is the only one who can clean up this mess. The Republican Party can't. Democrats can't. They proved that. They made the mess. Republicans just stand back. Oh, look at them. Spend days and months talking about the mess that they've made. Well, why don't do something about it? Our rule at home was, if you made a mess, you had to clean it up. But not this guy. Blame it on somebody else. Blame it on somebody else. That's the way we get out of it, right? Not me. Not me. One old house we was living in West Virginia, somebody had painted there before. They left the paint cans in this one big room. My brother and I found it. We got in there and we was playing soccer with it. We didn't know what soccer was, but we was playing. And the lids come off and the paint was getting all over the floor and over our hands. My brother said, I got a song, John. Put your hands in your pockets, your pockets in your pants. Get a little wiser every day and tell Mom, we don't know what happened, how that happened. That's about as childish as our government is. We made this mess, but don't bring me in and ask me a bunch of questions. I'll just lie to you anyway, right? So he was made our substitute. I'm so thankful for that. John 11:15. Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation should not perish. When they were discussing about taking Jesus, maybe even after that, they said, what about this? Well, I think there's something in the history that says something about one man taken in our history. I don't know. We guess at it. I think the Bible says, I don't know for sure. I think of that. Well, get a concordance and look it up, dummy. You know, it either said it or didn't say it. We know the resurrection. John chapter 11. After his friend had died and was in the grave for 4 days, they're all upset. But they had one sense enough to say, If you would have been here, it wouldn't have happened. Wherever Jesus. Jesus 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Never had a man raised himself from the grave. The prophets had raised some. Jesus had raised some. But never had a man claimed to resurrect himself. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He resurrected himself, and he'll resurrect us. I'm the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You're either going to live on in heaven or die on in hell. Just as life eternal goes on in heaven, torment goes on in hell. It's that way. It's your choice. You take one or the other. If you die unprepared to meet God, that's why Amos said, prepare to meet God, O Israel. And as we look at this sorry mess we have, we should say, prepare to meet God, America. World, prepare to meet God. Now consider that it's expedient for us that that man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the life. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my will of him, but the will of him that sent me. I didn't come to please myself. When his mother and father had lost him, Jesus did not lose them. They lost him. That happens to us sometimes. Little boy fell out of bed and they run in, got him up. They said, what happened, Johnny? He said, I stayed too close to where I got in. What's my point? Some Christians, oh, I got saved. I joined a church. You don't stay there. You keep driving on for more and better. Pushing on. He said in verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You may lose Jesus in your busy day, but he never loses you. He knows right where you are. Dad was away and left some of his cigarettes at home. I found them. I went out behind the toilet. First one we had was only a single hole. We finally grew up and got two. They said, what do you call? I called Big John down in Kentucky, a two-door, two-story outhouse. But anyway, that's not for Sunday morning Christmas service, sorry. But I found one. I got behind the toilet, lit that thing up. Next thing I felt, somebody had on my head by the hair and lifted me clear off the ground and started beating on me. It was my mother. What are you doing? I ain't doing nothing. What's all that smoke coming out of here? I'm going to set your butt on fire. And she did. I may have thought I had lost Mama, but Mama didn't lose John. She knew where I was. I saw her take my brother. He was supposed to get the cat, take it down to the barn. We're going to milk. We need the cat there to get his milk. And he reached back in there to get that cat, and the cat clawed him. And he called him a few choice words. And boy, Mama started, I couldn't see my brother for the dust. She was beating out of his pants. What'd you say? Nothing, Mama. And another time, she caught me with my back turned, and I said a cuss word, and she was washing with lye soap. How many of you know what lye soap is? Used to butcher hogs and make lye soap. She took that whole bar, stuck it in my mouth, jerked my head backwards, turned it over twice, pulled it out. Now, what you say? I can't even talk, Mama. You never say that word again. And this is the will, verse 40, of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We have a resurrection. We got that from the manger scene. We moved. We've left the manger scene. A few months back, actually it's been years now, Master John said, John, you want to go with me to Gettysburg? I'm taking some would-be, soon-be lieutenants around the battlefield. Sure, I'll go. So I went with him. And we went around and around and talking about all those places. And he told them about this general believed in Jesus, this one didn't. Very, very, very good time. In conclusion, because we're about out of time, I don't have time to tell you all the things that manger scene gave us. Go on forever. Just think. That's what we'll do in heaven, be with Jesus forever. Forever and ever and ever. He's my personal friend. You know, friends, oh, put it there, buddy. Put me a high five. I'm your friend. Let me tell you what I saw her doing. That, blah, 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 blah. Not Jesus. Shut up or put up. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not friends, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He said, this thing was not done in the corner. I hold nothing back. And when they prodded him and probed him to tell him, tell us what you're doing. Pilate said, don't you hear all the accusations they're making about you? Why don't you say something? The Bible says he marveled that he said not a word. There's some things just ain't worth answering. They're so dumb, so foolish, so full of lies, they don't even answer it. Right? The truth will come out. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth in Jesus. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Have had, will have, continue to have, many more. And I promise you one thing that I will give you. You can write this down in your Bible. If you have accepted Christ, write this down. I will meet you there. I will meet you in heaven. I have this promise too, that God promised me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll take you all the way. So if you got that same promise, we're going to be together in heaven. I told you about the woman going out the door, said to me, she said, I don't like the way you preach. I said, well, get used to it. If you're going to heaven, that's where we'll be. Yeah, but you'll be different up there. I said, so will you, lady. So will you. No arguments, no fussings, no not getting along. All will be beautiful in heaven. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, again we come to Thee. Where can we go but to our best friend, our loving Savior, our resurrection, our life, our God, our true one that we can trust. In times like these, we need a Savior. When our country's being blown apart, the friends and neighbors that we sign treaties with are wondering what happened to us. Where are our promises? Oh God, your one is true. You never give up. Thank you. While the piano plays softly, the altar's extended for this Christmas. If you would like to come and say, dear Lord, once again, I thank you for that wonderful gift that you've given me. Help me to be able to make friends of those who have not yet got the gospel for the coming year. Trudy, what's the rule on the poinsettias? They want to start getting them any time? Okay. Things might be closed up here Monday. It's a holiday, so make arrangements to get your poinsettia if you want it, because after a certain time, I take them. Okay? But you don't want the dead leaves falling everywhere. Thanks again. Nice, warm church, warm place, warm people. Sir, would you have a closing prayer, please?